You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
Bushfires and a prolonged drought in much of eastern Australia, wildfires in California and heat waves across Europe are among the extreme weather events prompting many to argue that they're directly linked to climate change. The Climate Council was among those calling for more action as it released a report that detailed an increase in the severity and frequency of extreme weather. Its report, Weather Gone Wild, found 2018 was the warmest on record for the world's oceans and that 9 of the 10 hottest years on record in Australia have occurred since 2005. Last year, insurance companies paid out $1.2 billion in claims following natural disasters, and the Australia Institute's Climate and Energy Program Director, Richie Merzian, said the figure will rise as events once considered rare will become the norm.
The bill to the insurance industry is growing year on year globally. I think last year it was about $300 billion in Australian dollars, in terms of the global insurance industry. And we've seen major reinsurers, who are the ones who really fund the local insurers in most countries, struggling to make some of those payouts.
In January, Will Steffen from the ANU's Climate Change Institute encouraged people to punish politicians at the ballot box if they believe their political representatives are not doing enough to address climate change.
Well, what we need to do in our everyday lives, each one of us, is to realize that this is a collective action problem. It affects all of us. All of us have to work together on the solution. There are certainly things you can do as an individual, but the number one thing you can do is to vote out parties that do not take action on climate change.
Students added their voices to calls for more action by taking time out from school to take part in climate protests across the country.
Have a message for our politicians and for everyone in a position of power and influence. If you care about us and the billions of young people living on this planet right now, we need you to work with us.
Many of the students had decided to follow the lead of Sweden's Greta Thunberg, who ended the year named as Time magazine's Person of the Year. The 16-year-old is the youngest person to be chosen by the magazine for the distinction. Last year, she started her own protests outside the Swedish Parliament building on most Fridays, and it sparked a global movement that used the hashtag Fridays for Future. This year, she was nominated as a candidate for the Nobel Peace Prize, and at the United Nations Climate Action Summit in September, she delivered a spirited speech in which she attacked delegates for not taking sufficient steps to tackle climate change.
Yet you all come to us young people for hope. How dare you? You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words, and yet I'm one of the lucky ones. People are suffering. People are dying. Entire ecosystems are collapsing.
In December, Ms. Thunberg made another keynote speech at the COP25 climate conference in Madrid, detailing the $1.9 trillion global banks have invested in fossil fuels and pointing out that just 100 companies are responsible for 71% of global emissions. She accused politicians and corporations of failing to raise their ambition to tackle climate change.
I still believe that the biggest danger is not inaction. The real danger is when politicians and CEOs are making it look like real action is happening when, in fact, almost nothing is being done apart from clever accounting and creative PR.
Australia's Energy Minister, Angus Taylor, told the same conference strong messages and targets alone won't address climate change, no matter how ambitious.
The world needs action to reduce emissions, and Australia believes technology is central to achieving this. We can only reduce emissions as fast as the deployment of commercially viable technologies allow. This means We need to get the right technology to the marketplace when and where it is needed.
He told the delegates an unprecedented wave of low emissions investment is underway in Australia.
Last year, renewable investment was Australia's highest on record of $14.1 billion, which is world-leading investment given our population. Renewables are now more than 25% of our electricity supply in the national electricity market. Australia's Clean Energy Finance Corporation, the world's most successful green bank, has mobilised over $20 billion in new investments. The Australian Renewable Energy Agency has provided $1.4 billion to improve the affordability and increase the supply of renewable energy in Australia.
Under the Paris Climate Agreement, Australia has promised to cut emissions by 26 to 28% of 2005 levels by 2030. And Prime Minister Scott Morrison has given repeated assurances that Australia will meet that target. Weeks of bushfires in eastern Australia was the catalyst for another climate protest in Sydney in December, with the city enduring weeks of smoke haze from the blazes. The haze was so intense, it set off smoke alarms and saw some Sydneysiders put on masks to protect themselves from the pollution. Greens MP David Shoebridge told the protest there'd been a lack of action by governments.
We are gathered here today while our forests are on fire. We're in a city, a global city, that's been shrouded in toxic smoke for weeks and weeks on end. We've come here wearing face masks so that the air of our towns and cities is safe to breathe. And we have a Premier who's missing in action and a Prime Minister who wants to do climate harm.
Scott Morrison acknowledged the drought has affected the fires and that Australia is living through a national disaster with a dangerous season ahead.
So we are taking action. But what I've noticed on the ground in terms of these fires is that the way that it has brought Australians as a community together. Certainly these broader global issues are relevant, but at times like this, Australians must come together.
The climate summit in Madrid became the longest on record when it continued 2 days past its scheduled finish date, following more than 2 weeks of fractious negotiations. The talks were unable to reach a consensus on many important issues, such as the creation of a global carbon market. That's among the matters postponed until next year's COP26 summit in Glasgow. United Nations Secretary-General Antonio Guterres said the international community had lost an important opportunity to show increased ambition on mitigation, adaptation and finance to tackle the climate crisis. Greg Dyatt, SBS News.
Tell us what you think. Rate this podcast on iTunes. It helps other people to find us.